Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Miss B, and I'm the kids coordinator here at Vintage Faith, and we like to have an activity to go alongside our sermon. So I'm going to tell you the supplies that you need. I'll give you 1 minute to go and grab your supplies and meet me back here, and we'll go over what today's craft will be. So today, friends, I encourage you to grab two pieces of paper, some scissors, a glue stick, and some markers or crayons, something like that, that you can draw or color with, okay? So I'll give you 1 minute to go grab it and meet me back here. Ready, set, go. All right, friends, we got what we need. Awesome. So today we are going to get a little creative. Today we're going to talk about David and Goliath. Okay, it's such a cool story, and we are going to create a little pouch of stones. So we will find out in the story that David defeated someone with stones and a slingshot, but for your parents' sanity, I'm not going to have you make little slingshots. So we are going to make a pouch to hold our stones in, okay? So I got two pieces of paper. And I just drew a little pouch, or you can make it look however you want. Cut it out, and I just drew little strings on here. I don't know. And I put glue on all along the edge, okay? It's two pieces of paper here. So I put glue all along the edge so that I could open it when it's dry and put my little stones in. And then I just got black pieces of paper and just cut out little, like, you know, different shapes and stuff like that. So I have five stones here because David went to the river and got five stones. And that's what I have here. And you get to put them inside your little pouch, okay? And then Pastor Matt's sermon points you can write on the front here, or if you want to write them on the back, you can do that. Kids, if you want to make this out of Play-Doh, you can make a little pouch out of Play-Doh and make five separate little stones. You could do that too, okay? Or if you just want to draw this on a piece of paper, but it'd be really fun to cut it out and make this, because this is something that you can kind of hang in your room. And we'll recap after the sermon, and I'll go into a little bit more detail about that. All right, kiddos, I can't wait to see how they turn out. Enjoy. I'll see you after the sermon.
Welcome to Bible Story Time with Vintage Faith. Today's story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David and Goliath. Saul was king, and he ruled people called the Israelites. David and his family were Israelites too. The Israelites didn't get along with people named the Philistines. The problem with the Philistines was that they had many giants living in the land. One of the strongest and biggest giants was named Goliath. He was over 9 feet tall, which is taller than any recorded person. Goliath was covered with armor to protect him and carried a big spear. Every morning and every night for 40 days, he shouted to the Israelites in his big voice, "Hey, you guys, I dare you to find one man to fight me. If he can beat me, we will become your servants. But if I win, you will become our servants." When Saul and his men heard this, they were very afraid. Three of these men were David's three oldest brothers. They were the only ones in David's family who could go and fight because they were old enough. Now David's father Jesse heard about the giant and was worried for his sons. He called David out from the field and asked him to take food to his brothers and report back to see how they were doing. So David set off to visit his brothers. As he approached them, he heard Goliath shouting, his challenge every morning like he did. David asked the men in the army, "Isn't someone going to stand up to this man? Then I will fight against this Philistine." Saul overheard and approached David and said, "You can't fight Goliath. You're only a boy. He has been fighting for many years." But David said to Saul, "I have fought lions and bears to protect my father's sheep. God helped keep me safe then, and he will keep me safe now. David trusted God. So Saul dressed David in heavy armor to protect him from Goliath. It was so heavy he could barely walk, and he knew God would keep him from harm, so David took the armor off. Instead, he went into the stream nearby and found 5 smooth stones and put them in a pouch in his waist, and with his sling, he went to Goliath. As David approached Goliath, he looked at David and thought it was a joke. Goliath thought he could easily beat David, and it was funny that Saul would send a small boy to fight him. But David said to him without fear, "You fought with sword, and I come with God on my side. And today everyone will know that there is one true God in this land." Goliath didn't care what David said, and he moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly to meet him. Reaching into his pouch, he pulled out a stone and put it in the slingshot and shot at Goliath. The stone hit him right between his eyes, and suddenly Goliath started to lose his balance. He fell with a loud thud on his face. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine with his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him. And he cut off his head with it. When the rest of the Philistines saw this, they ran away, and David became the hero to all the people in Israel.
Hey, everybody, that was so much fun. The felt board, it is making a comeback. You heard it here at Vintage Faith. The felt board is making a comeback. You know, does that remind anybody about growing up in Sunday school? I know for me, I grew up kind of going to Sunday school off and on here and there, and I can still remember learning stories on the felt board. But if this is brand new to you, then this is just the best way to tell Bible stories, I think. I think we're on to something here. Hey, welcome to Vintage Faith. I'm just so happy to have you join in with me this morning. And it is 4th of July weekend. And I thought, you know, this is a 4th of July weekend unlike any 4th of July weekend we've ever known. And just a day or two ago, we learned that all the beaches are going to be closed down, that gatherings with other people that you're not self-quarantining with are discouraged. So, gosh, I don't know what this weekend is going to look like for you, but go ahead and chime in on the comment section. I would love to hear some of the creative things that you're doing this weekend to enjoy the holiday and how you're being creative in your own celebration. So go ahead. I'm looking for some good ideas from you guys. My name is Matt Kladnick, and I just can't wait to share God's word with you today. You are here today and participating with our Sunday School Remix series. Wicca, 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 wicca. I've been working on that a little bit. But part of our Sunday School Remix series is telling some old Bible stories that you may have heard as a kid and having kind of maybe a new twist on them. So there is a tame felt board child-friendly version of so many of these Bible stories, but underneath the felt board and on the one layer deeper than the felt board is a version of the story which carries with it the principles that God would have us build our lives around. So our work today is to both enjoy the felt board story, but also to look a little bit deeper and see some of the principles that God might be wanting to bring to the surface so that we could start walking in those things. If you gave me a second here to summarize that whole story you just got to enjoy, if you could give me a chance to summarize those 54 verses, I would say that the big takeaway from the story of David and Goliath might be something like this. God can do extraordinary things with us when we trust him. Let me say that one more time. God can do extraordinary things with us when we trust him. That might be the overarching theme of the story of David and Goliath. Hey, I don't know if you know this, but David actually did a lot of writing in the Bible. Not only did David do brave things like what we just learned about, but David was also a songwriter. He wrote many of the Psalms in the Bible. So right near the middle of your Bible, there's a big book called Psalms. Many of these are songs that David actually wrote. And these songs were written out of David's longing, out of the cry of his heart. Some of the songs were even written out of his own past experiences. And I want to look at Psalm 27. And as I read Psalm chapter 27, I want you to see maybe where some of David's inspiration might have come from. I have a feeling that David was actually, as he wrote this psalm, he was thinking back about some of the ways that God had been faithful in some of the difficult seasons of his life, one of which may have very well been his experience with Goliath. So Psalm chapter 27, let me read you these first 4 verses. And it says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Aren't those just beautiful words? And I can imagine that as David wrote these words about war and fighting and struggle and God's faithfulness, he would just be thinking and heralded back to the moments, the experience that he had in the fight with Goliath. You know, some of our best motivation to worship is actually God's past faithfulness. And sometimes it can be hard to worship God in the moment because so many things seem unknown. Well, if you need some fuel to your worship, just think back about some of the ways that God has been faithful. And I think that's what David did here. David thought back to those past experiences that God had been faithful, and that fueled his current worship. And there would be a good principle for you and I to walk into. If you can't think of something to praise God for right now, maybe rewind a little bit in your life and think about some of the ways that God has been faithful and let that fuel your worship. The story of David and Goliath is an amazing underdog story, and I love watching movies. I'm a big movie guy, but there are so many movies that have to do with underdogs. You know, I think that many people not familiar with the Bible are still familiar with David and Goliath. I actually think that if you walked around and you told people, hey, what do you know about David and Goliath? They would probably be able to tell you a little bit more about David and Goliath than just about anything else in the Bible. The story of David and Goliath is a very popular story, and it's a popular in and outside of the church walls. I think that we all love a good underdog story, and we love a good story where an unlikely hero emerges. I think we love a good story where an unlikely hero comes up on the scene and rescues everyone. We love a good story when a smaller, weaker, less experienced team fights against all odds and ends up being victorious. Hollywood has made a lot of money off of stories about underdogs. I'm curious, and this is going to be a chance for you to talk with the people you're at. I'm not sure if you're at home on your couch with your family around you or your loved ones or friends, or maybe you're just all alone and you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. Well, you can type in the comment section, but I've got a question for you to think about. I would love to hear your responses. What is your favorite underdog movie? What is your favorite underdog movie? So go ahead, turn to the people you're with, type in the comment section. Let us know, what is your favorite underdog movie? And just to get you started, I'll tell you mine. My favorite underdog movie happens to be all of the Rocky movies. In particular, the Rocky movie where Rocky fights against Ivan Drago. This, a little known fact, Sylvester Stallone, who plays Rocky Balboa, is 5'9", 170 pounds. Ivan Drago was 6'6", 270 pounds. And yet Rocky Balboa, the Italian stallion, was victorious and ended up defeating the evil Ivan Drago in the boxing ring. But Rocky is my favorite underdog. So what is yours? Go ahead. All right, so cool. I can't wait to just see all your guys' ideas. But here's a couple other underdog movies that may have come to mind. I'm not sure if they were in the comment section or not. But Karate Kid, right? It wasn't Karate Kid and underdog. Wax on, wax off. What about Rudy? Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. That's a good one. What about Cool Runnings? That's an old one. I actually really want to watch that one. Cool Runnings is about the Jamaican bobsled team. That's a great underdog movie. What about The Mighty Ducks? You remember The Fighting V? Remember that? Oh, classic. What about Dodgeball? Remember Dodgeball? If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Yeah, that's another good underdog movie. But there are lots of movies made about underdogs. But before there were movies in Hollywood made about underdogs, there was this story of David and Goliath, the first underdog ever. The Bible is full of underdogs, and today we're just going to look at the story of David and how David trusted God in the middle of huge obstacles and saw God do something amazing in his midst. I want to take some time to just look at some of the principles here. So again, we're going to look under the surface of the felt board to look at what are some of the principles behind the story that are good for us to learn today. And so number one is this. If you're taking notes, and kiddos, you may want to get your craft out. You can write these words down. But number one is this. The first principle that we're going to look at is this. David saw an opportunity where everyone else saw an obstacle. Number one, David saw an opportunity where everyone else saw an obstacle. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 through 11, I'm going to read these couple words to you. And I want us to pick up the difference between how Saul and the Israelite army saw the challenge of Goliath. And I want to look at how David saw the challenge of Goliath. They saw this in two very different ways. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8, it says this. He stood, and this is Goliath, he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. If I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be my servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now jump down to verse 32 with me, and this is how David responds to the exact same threat. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight this Philistine. So here we see two very different posturings towards the very same obstacle. Saul and the Israelite army were terrified and didn't want to engage. But yet David heard the very same threats, and David wasn't terrified. David didn't want to run away. David wanted to move forward, and David wanted to engage. You know, when we look at the challenges in front of us, we have to look past our limited perspective and see that what God sees. Instead of getting dismayed and discouraged, we should be full of faith and full of courage when obstacles seem to arise in front of us. When we look at the challenges in our lives from God's perspective, you will be full of courage instead of full of fear and anxiety. As God's chosen people, with the power of the Holy Spirit alive inside of us, we don't hide when things get bad. We don't run away when obstacles seem to arise in front of us. Rather, we press in, we lean in all the more. You know, we need God to give us a brand new perspective of the challenges that we're in the middle of right now. We need God to show us and point out to us that these aren't obstacles to be avoided. These are challenges to be embraced. And I think that's true to the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. When things get tough, and they do, and they always will, we don't shrink back, we don't run away, we don't hide, but we actually press in, we lean all in all the more, because obstacles, they're not meant to discourage us. Obstacles aren't meant to delay us. The obstacles that come up in life, and they're always going to, they're meant to refine us and shape us, and they're meant to be opportunities for us to exercise our faith. You know, Saul and the army, they were terrified of Goliath. And if you actually read in your Bible, you'll see that Goliath was 9'9". So Goliath was almost 10 feet tall. You know how tall a basketball hoop is? A basketball hoop is 10 feet tall. Goliath was almost as tall as a basketball. He was a huge man. And David, in the Bible, it says that David was a young man. They say that David was somewhere between 14 and 17 years old. David was just a boy. I mean, I don't know who's got a 14 or 17-year-old in our church right now. Maybe Josh. I'm not sure how old Josh is. But imagine Josh getting ready to fight a grown man that's almost 10 feet tall. That looks like an underdog battle right there. Josh is in big trouble against this huge giant of a man. But Saul and the Israelites were terrified of this man, Goliath. But David wasn't. David, faith grew in him as he saw the challenge come up against him. And something happened to David in this whole ordeal when David heard how Goliath was taunting, not just Saul, not just Israel, but when David heard how Goliath was taunting his God, something arose in David that he just couldn't stand anymore. He had to do something about it. You know, I think it's a choice. And we all have obstacles, and there are challenges in all of our lives, and maybe more right now than another season, but there are all challenges. But how we embrace the challenges of our world around us, it's a choice. And you have a choice with how you're going to handle those things. We have obstacles everywhere, and we have to address them in a way that honors God the best way that we can, trusting that God is going to do something miraculous in our midst. So don't be like Saul, be like David. When an obstacle arises, embrace it. Run straight into it. Watch God be faithful, okay? Number two, go ahead and kids, you're going to write this one down. Number two, the challenges of David's past were fuel for his future. Number two, the challenges of David's past were fuel for his future. 1 Samuel chapter 17, David is trying to understand, like, what is he going to do? First of all, he hears Goliath's threats and something, a righteous anger stirs up inside of him. Quickly, David's mind, it runs backwards, and he rewinds a little bit to think about some of the moments in his life where he had been brave and he had been courageous. So this is what he says, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. And David said, I believe he was talking to Saul at this moment, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So in this moment where David is pleading his case before Saul about wanting to move forward and do something brave, he remembers there was this time, not all that long ago, where the Lord gave me the strength I needed to overcome a huge obstacle, mainly a lion and a bear. If you have been attacked by a lion or a bear, go ahead and comment in the comment section. I'd love to hear your story. But that sounds terrifying. I mean, I've been attacked by a possum, and I'm still scarred from that attack. And it's a long story, but a possum walked right past me, and it scared me so bad. I'm still shaken about it. But I can't imagine being attacked by a lion or a bear. But David saw that those experiences from long ago, that those weren't just blips in his life. Those are actually ways that God was starting to refine something in him. And so David was able to lean back and look back at his life and look at some of the markers of God's faithfulness as not just challenges that he just barely survived, but those were moments where God taught him a very important lesson. And I think the wisdom would be for you and I to look back in our lives and say, look at the times that God has been faithful. And I'm gonna rest in those moments of God's faithfulness. And our hope is that as we lean into those ways that God has been faithful in the past, that it'll fill us with courage for the obstacles in front of us, right? And I think that too often we look at our challenges that we're in as just something we need to survive. I mean, I think a lot of people right now in the middle of a pandemic and in the middle of all this stuff going on in our world, a lot of people are saying, I just need to get through this. And I've even said things like that. Like I've just said, man, I just want this season to be over. Can we just get through this? I want to get to the other side of this. You know, I think the best thing for you and I to do isn't just to say, man, I just want to get through this. The best thing for you and I to say is, I want to learn through this. There's a really big difference there in those two statements. Just getting through something or learning through something. Now, the truth would be this. You can get through something and learn absolutely nothing, right? And or you can get through something and learn something. And I think that's what David reminds us about today is that we should be learning through the challenges of life because they're preparing us for the future. You know, instead of wanting to get through something, we should be people that learn through something. I think that would be something great for you to jot down and maybe apply to your own life. You know, David identified that the lion and the bear were challenges that prepared him for the next thing. And I think you and I should start right now building a rapport with God, trusting him in all the things that are going on around us, building a rapport of courage and bravery in our lives so that we can move forward in all the things that God has for us. You know, can you think of one to two things, one or two challenges of your past that God might use for you to bless someone in the future? Yeah, just, we're going to pause and we're going to take a second to think about it. I'm not going to put the clock up or the time or anything, but can you just think, what are one to two things that you have been through that you could imagine God might use to bless somebody else later in life? I bet you can think of a lot of things, and I bet you're thinking about challenges in your marriage, challenges in your health, challenges in your finances, challenges with your kids, whatever it may be. I think we can all think of a couple things that were really, really, really difficult, really, really hard, really, really painful things. But as we have learned through those things, God is going to give you opportunity to lean into those hard times to be a blessing to other people around you. Now, this, let me give you an example from my own life. I think it was about 11 years ago, 10, 11 years ago, we found out that Grace was pregnant with our first baby. And we were so excited. I mean, we had been wanting to have a family for such a long time. And Grace finally fell pregnant. And we were just so excited to welcome this baby. And early in the pregnancy, we learned the devastating news that we'd actually lost the baby. And right around like week 4 or 5, it was very early in the pregnancy, we didn't even get to see a heartbeat or anything from this little one. But early on in the pregnancy, this baby passed away and we had a miscarriage early on. And I can still remember, as vivid as it happened yesterday, I can remember walking back out to the car with Grace, and I put her in the car seat, and I put her, opened up her door for her to sit in the car, and I shut the door, and I remember just leaning on the back of the car for a second, like I couldn't even get in the car. I remember just leaning on the back of my dusty car, and I just had this thought in my head, and I thought, this sucks. That's one of the things I thought, like this, I don't like this at all. But I remember it was a choice, and I remember thinking to myself, I've got a choice right now. I can either let this scar me or I can let this shape me. And it's a choice. And it really is a choice. And it's always going to be a choice. When things happen that are devastating in our lives, it's a choice. Are you going to let it scar you or are you going to let it shape you? And in that moment, leaning on the back of the car, I just cried out to God and I just thought to myself, I'm going to let this shape me. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do the hard work at understanding what all this means for me. I'm going to do the hard work of grieving. I'm going to do the hard work of crying and just being confused and being hurt. I'm going to do the hard work. I'm going to go the whole route of this loss because I want God to shape something in me that I'm going to need for the future. And little did I know that that experience has been so meaningful to Grace and I, and it has created in me an amount of compassion for people that deal with loss that I couldn't have ever had I not experienced that kind of loss on my own. And so that is just an example, but I think you have your own examples too of difficult things that you have been through and you chose, and I hope you did, and I know you had, and I know you will in the future. You can choose to either let that thing shape you or you can choose to let that thing scar you. And I know that God has a purpose behind every difficult season that he wants to shape something beautiful in you. That's what David did. David allowed those experiences with the lion and the bear to be shaping opportunities, and it filled him with courage to handle an even bigger challenge ahead of him when he had that encounter with Goliath. Lastly, and point number three, kids, you can write this one down. Number three is this. Don't be somebody else, be you. Don't be somebody else, be you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. And I got this because I was thinking about this time when David is getting ready to go out and fight Goliath. Saul decides that I'm going to give this kid my armor. He needs to be protected. He needs to have the weapons that he's going to need to fight this giant of a man out there. And so 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. Let me read it to you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail, and David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said, I can't go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. So what David does here is David puts on Saul's armor. And I can understand. That makes sense, right? I wouldn't want to run out to this giant of a man without some sort of protection because I'd be terrified. Well, David puts on the armor and realizes, man, I can't fight the way I have been created to fight if I'm weighted down by an armor that I was never meant to carry. And I think this is a good lesson for you and I, that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other people around us. We shouldn't be trying to arm ourselves with the strategies that other people are arming themselves with. We should actually be leaning into the strategies that God has uniquely put inside of us. Look at some of the things that David picks up. David was a shepherd. He grabs his shepherd's staff. He grabs his sling and he grabs some rocks. David didn't grab some sort of weapon that would be foreign to him. He grabbed something that was comfortable to him, something that he had experience with. And I think one of the risks in our world is that we just want to be like everybody else. And one of the risks is we see someone else succeed in a way and we want to succeed like them. And in my field, I want to preach like this person. I want to lead like this person. I want to shepherd like this person. And it can be exhausting trying to mimic all the great people around me. And the world doesn't need anybody else like that. The world just simply needs me to be me. And the world needs you to be you. And when I think about David putting on Saul's armor, I think about my daughter, Polly. And Polly loves to wear my t-shirts. And it is just so cute because my t-shirts, they look like dresses when Polly wears them around. And I get this picture of David coming out of the tent with Saul's armor just hanging off of his body. It just didn't look right. It wasn't the right fit for him. And David was wise enough to say, I'm not going to be limited by what someone else's expectations are of me. I'm going to walk faithfully in what I know to be true and what I feel comfortable in. The temptation would have been for David to look like and fight like anybody else and everyone else. But David remained true to who he was, to the disciplines that he was comfortable with, because God had been shaping David for a long time for a moment just like this one. You know, God made each of us unique, and he doesn't need us to compare ourselves to anybody else. And if that's you and you find yourself that you fall into the comparison trap really quick and really easy, I just want you to know right now that the world doesn't need another one of them. That person's already taken. The world just simply needs you to be you. I heard it said in a book I was reading recently said, be yourself, everyone else is taken. And I think that's great encouragement for us. Be yourself, everyone else is taken. You know, the story of the underdog, the story of David and Goliath, it teaches us that God can do extraordinary things with us when we trust him. We also learned that we can have a new perspective on the challenges and obstacles of life. We just need to embrace the challenges as they come. We will learn today that challenges are preparation for the future. And we also learned that you are uniquely called and gifted and equipped to do the exact things that God has for you, that you don't need to try to be anybody else. You just simply comfortably and confidently be you. But one of my favorite parts of the story is a section of scripture we didn't even get to, but it's just a short phrase. And this is one of my favorite lines in this whole chapter. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40, it says this: "When the Philistine arose," when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, listen to this, "David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine." Can you just picture that for a second? 9 foot 9 Goliath is making his way to the battlefield, and 17, 14, 15, 16 year old, 120 pound David with a staff and a sling and 5 rocks. He doesn't slowly move out to the battle. He doesn't timidly move out. He doesn't, he eagerly, like it says, he quickly ran to the battle line to meet the Philistine. You know, David didn't delay. He didn't negotiate. He didn't avoid the conflict. He jumped right in. He pressed right in. And you know what? I want to give you that same opportunity today. And I think as we've been talking about the bravery and the courage that David had, I think a lot of you are listening, you're watching, and you're like, yeah, that sounds awesome, but that's not me. We hear stories about David's bravery and courage and his ambition and his love for God, and all these things are so brilliantly put out in Scripture. It's obvious these qualities of David, and we read this, we're like, man, I got nothing in common with this guy David because he's so brave and so courageous. And I want you to know that David started in a place. David matured to a place where being courageous was the norm. David didn't start as a courageous person. I don't think any of us really do. But courage is something that gets cultivated as we lean into God in the simple and in the mundane and in the ordinary and the simple things of life. God's invitation isn't for you to go and fight a giant. Will you fight some giants in your life? In some way, shape, or form, you might. But God's invitation for you is really simple, and it is this: but follow me. That's all God says, follow me. And you know what? The brave stuff, God's going to be with you. The courageous stuff that's in front of you, God's going to be with you. The promise of Scripture isn't that God's going to point you to some really difficult stuff and say, go figure it out on your own. The promise of Scripture is that God goes with us into any and every difficult season and battle of life. You are never alone when you're on God's side. You are just the type of underdog that God can do miracles through. So no matter who you are, where you are, what your story looks like, you are just the type of underdog that God can use to do something miraculous in. If you want to say yes to Jesus, and I think this would be the best thing you could do ever, if you want to say yes to Jesus, that's totally amazing. And I don't know what you're feeling right now or what the emotions are right now, but maybe you're just feeling like life has got to change, and it's got to change for the better. And you've tried all these other options to make your life make sense. Now's the time to lean into Jesus. And if you want to make that decision, we're here to help you and to help you start your journey with Jesus. And all you have to do in this virtual world we're in is you have to do this: pick up your phone. And I just want you to text yes to Jesus to 94000. Yes to Jesus, no spaces, to 94000. And someone from church will be in touch with you to help you along your journey as you embrace all the great things God has for you. So thanks for listening and paying attention today. Miss Bernadette, will you take us away and wrap up the kids portion? And remember, hey, let's be the church.
Hey kids, how did your little rock pouches turn out? I hope they turned out fabulous. I bet they did. Go ahead and snap a picture of it, and feel free to email it to me at kids@vffchurch.com, or ask your parents to tag us on social media at VFF Kids. All right, I'd love to check them out. So let's recap really quick over Pastor Matt's sermon points. The first point was David saw an opportunity where everyone else saw an obstacle. So he didn't need armor. When he was offered armor, he was like, I don't need your armor. He knew that God gave him a special gift. He was really, really good with a slingshot. I read somewhere that they were called slingers and that they were super, super accurate and could hit targets of up to 2 football fields away. That's crazy, right? So he trusted God. He trusted that God gave him this gift, that he could do this, and he felt brave. And here at BFF Kids, one of our core values is you are brave. So always remember that, okay? So the second one is the challenges of David's past were fuel for his future. David, as a young shepherd, was in charge of keeping his sheep safe. He told Saul that he even protected his sheep from lions and a bear. So he just felt so confident. He knew that he was created for a moment such as this. Okay, so everything that had happened to him before, he knew that was God's plan and that he was created for this exact moment. Okay, so his last point is don't be someone else, be you. God has a plan for each and every one of you. And anytime you feel afraid, remember that you are brave. God created you to be brave. You were chosen for this exact moment in time. And remember that God created each and every one of you so special, so unique. So be true to who you are. Always be yourself. All right, kiddos, I hope you felt encouraged today. Feel free to hang these up in your room. Feel free to write words of encouragement on your little stones and keep them in here. And anytime you feel that you need some encouragement, pull a stone out and read, "You are brave, you are chosen." Whatever words that you want to write on here to cheer you up when you might need it. And then hang it somewhere in your room for you, okay? Don't forget to hop on to our online kids Bible story and activity created just for you. It's on our website. You'll see the link right on the screen there. Hop on anytime this week. Check it out. It's so fun. We have a pre-K video. We have a kids video. It's great. And I will see you guys here next week. Take care, kids. Don't forget, I love you, but Jesus loves you more.